Good morning. My name is Callie, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Core Financial Concepts in Running It Like a Business conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star and then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you, Mr. Michael Smith. You may begin your conference.
Thanks, Kelly, and thanks everyone for joining us this morning. A little bit about my background first before we get started. I am a research analyst in Gartner's CIO research team, which is made up of about 27 analysts or so, and we focus on senior IT management issues, things like governance, demonstrating the business value of IT, areas of performance management, and so on. And my specific focus within that organization is on performance management. And I, for instance, this year I've authored the IT Spending and Staffing Report with Kirk Potter, and also am the primary author of the Gartner Business Value Model. So I take a lot of client inquiries, and I interface with a lot of IT managers on this topic, and I'll be sharing some of those insights with you as we go through. Certainly, you know, given our current economy, issues that relate to IT financial concepts, you know, are top of mind, probably for many of you as well. So let's go through, and I'll share with you some of the best practices and things that we see that really work, you know, in this current economy. If we go to the first slide. The issue often comes up is, you know, who's really responsible for IT spending? And it sounds like a curious question because most executives assume that IT spending is controlled by IT management. But when we talk to IT managers, they often point to the ever-increasing demands from the business for new and better IT services, which has a huge impact on IT spending. And especially in this economy where budget cuts are being made throughout the organization and non-IT organizations are looking to IT for additional services and capabilities in order to cope with doing more with less. And also what happens is that business executives fail to make the connection between those increased services and increased spending. Essentially, what they want IT to do is to reduce spending without lowering service levels. And this really makes it tough. So the third point there is at the end of the day, the business always prevails. So what can IT management do to cope in this situation? And this presentation will cover Gartner research on proven concepts that IT management can use to close the loop between IT demand, or those increased service requirements, and IT spending. So the key issues that I'd like to talk about this morning are, why is it critical for IT management to separate IT supply management from IT demand management when explaining IT spending levels? I'll go through what I mean by IT supply management and IT demand management. It's very important for us to make that clear distinction. Next, what are the building blocks for communicating IT's contribution to the business? Because in addition to explaining the spending levels or the cost side of IT, we have a responsibility to the business to explain how we are contributing to overall business performance. So we'll talk about that as well. And then finally, what is the best organizational model for sustaining IT alignment with business goals? Now, all three of these issues deal with core financial concepts. And these are concepts that are known by the business. They were specifically selected from among all the different approaches because of their familiarity to business executives. So let's go to the next slide. And let's start by making the distinction between IT demand management and IT supply management. IT demand management involves the number and volume of services that are offered by the IT organization. And this has the biggest impact on overall IT spending. You know, the volume of work and the number of services that are offered have the biggest impact on the overall IT budget. High-cost IT services are typically implicitly defined and fluctuate freely. What this means is that there's a sort of an intuitive understanding of what IT does, and what IT does changes depending on the needs of the business, and that changes. It happens freely. Those result in very high-cost IT services. Low-cost IT services are explicitly defined and evolve through a managed process. What I mean by explicitly defined is that IT and the business get together to define exactly what it is IT does to support the business. And this usually manifests itself in a service catalog or service portfolio with service level agreements associated with them. Many of you may have already implemented that or tried to implement it with varying levels of success. We're going to talk a little bit more today about how to improve the success of your service catalog or service portfolio. So that's on the demand side. Now, what's important to remember about the demand side of IT spending is that it is ultimately controlled by the business. IT has a big responsibility in managing the demand side, and that is to provide the business with a mechanism to make intelligent decisions about how many and what the volume of IT services need to be. But beyond that mechanism, it really is ultimately under the control of the business. That's on the demand side. The supply side is quite different. IT supply management focuses on the number and volume of processes performed by the IT organization, including hardware and software and external services. These are processes, internal IT processes, are things performed within the IT organization and are under the control of the IT management team. High-cost processes are, again, implicitly defined and fluctuate freely. So there's kind of an informal understanding of things like how application development is performed or infrastructure and operational activities, and they fluctuate freely. Those result in very high-cost IT processes. Low-cost IT processes are explicitly defined and managed by continuous improvement. So similar to the services, IT processes are defined and then continuously improved. Now, IT supply management, unlike the demand side, is completely under the control of IT management, or should be. And that's an issue that we'll talk a little bit more about as well, because these are the things that are controlled by IT. So in terms of IT demand management and IT supply management, IT is clearly or should be clearly held responsible for the level of spending as it relates to the supply side of the equation. But there's a shared responsibility on the demand side, and that's what we have to make clear to our senior business executives, people who control the overall level of IT spending. And let's talk about how to do that. The next slide talks about the difference between IT processes on the left and services on the right. Oftentimes I get to look at service catalogs, and what I often see at the very top of the list is application development. Application development is an IT process. It is not an IT service. An automated business process, like automated payroll, that's a service. So although these are very closely related, they are very different, and the distinction needs to be made clear to business executives. IT processes are performed within IT and are under the control of IT. And ITIL is a good source for identifying common IT processes. ITIL often confuses this concept of process with service. So in that regard, it's unfortunate. But ITIL does have a good list of IT processes that you can use as a reference for developing the processes that you use. So an IT process of things like application development or infrastructure and operational activities, and the relationship between these processes and the services that they are used in to deliver value back to the customer is usually many to one. That is to say, there are usually many IT processes that are needed to deliver a single IT service. And again, in addition to things like an automated business process, other examples, and we'll look at some here in a second, of IT services are things like provisioning for new employees. That is a service. And that consumes many IT processes. There's procurement, there's security, there's application support, hardware installation, and so on. All of those processes are needed to provide a provisioning service. And this is where operational efficiency comes in, because focusing on the supply side, the process side, and comparing that to other organizations that are of similar size and perform similar processes is the way that IT can demonstrate its efficiency as it relates to IT spending levels. And Gartner has the largest database of comparative spending statistics that focus on these processes. And all of you who have access to Gartner.com can look at the 2009 report on this comparative data. It's called the IT Spending and Staffing Report for 2009. It's about 70 pages in length, and it has chart after chart of comparative spending statistics on IT processes. So an excellent way of demonstrating operational efficiency from an IT point of view. But that's only one half of the equation. The other side is the effectiveness of IT. So let's begin to talk about that. Go to the next slide. The way we demonstrate IT effectiveness is by linking the services, the properly defined services that IT delivers, with business needs. And in order to help our clients identify and articulate what these business needs are, Gartner has done a lot of research in the area of business performance metrics, not IT, but business metrics. And that research is contained in a document called the Gartner Business Value Model. It contains some of the most frequently used IT business metrics that organizations like marketing, sales, and product development, customer service, finance, human capital management all focus on. So with those metrics, and this is meant to be just an example of the kinds of things that businesses focus on, the next step is to link the IT services and the service level agreements that IT delivers to those business performance metrics. And that really kind of takes on a new role in IT, and this is where many of our clients are beginning to develop new capabilities. It really requires an IT product management hat. We're very good at delivering and managing the processes over time. We've gotten better and better at that with our core capabilities. But what's needed at this point is a product management capability, where we're able to package, in a sense, the capabilities that exist within IT, the better, cheaper, faster things we do, to be able to define those things in ways that the business can consume them, using words that are familiar to the business. In fact, even perhaps owned by the business, named by the business. And it's by doing that that we can begin to set the relationship between the services that IT offers and the business performance that's so important to them. And the key to this is defining services in a way that is familiar and valued to your customer, same way that any product manager would approach their job. So that's the next step in this basic core concepts. If we go to the next area, I would spend a little bit more time defining or providing some advice on how to define IT services. What we see are two lists on this slide, Portfolio A and Portfolio B. Portfolio A is an initial starting point that I see a lot of clients use in terms of defining their service catalog, and they use words that are familiar to them, which is, you know, understandable. They'll put down things like server administration or backup and recovery, network monitoring, and so on, terms that are very important to the internal IT organization, and may even have job categories that are based on these words. And so it's very clear to IT what these services are. The problem is that most businesses, although they may have heard of these phrases, have no way of understanding how much or how little of these things to consume. That's where we see the translation, if you will, on the right-hand side, Portfolio B, where we begin to define things in ways that are consumable and understood by the business. So business process automation. When you talk to someone who manages a payroll function, if you can explain to them how you can automate certain manual steps along the way in the process that they manage, that's something that they can understand and value. Other examples are things like project management. All business people have been involved with projects at one point or another, and they understand what good project management is and how important it is to the success of a project. That's another service that can be provided by IT for IT-related business initiatives. We talked about employee provisioning, where when a new hire or replacement is brought on board, all of the right hardware, software, bandwidth, dial tone, et cetera, is provided to that person so that they can be productive as quickly as possible. That is valuable to business people. All the complexity that goes on behind the scenes in order to provide these services, like, for example, employee provisioning, shouldn't be discussed with the business. That's a supply-side issue. And all too often what we see are IT professionals who, in an effort to be clear and transparent, provide all of this detail about what it takes to do employee provisioning. And it's just overwhelming to the business. So what we're really trying to emphasize here on the right side is high-level labels and concepts that you can use with the business that are in their language, that are aimed at needs that they have. Then do the translation back into the complex world of how you deliver that on the supply side. But the key is to really define the service catalog in a way that is valued and consumable by the business. And we have some more research on this that we can share with you under the Information Services Company, ISCO, model. So the key, again, on this slide is services need to be described based on what customers want to buy, not what IT wants to sell. So if we go to the next building block, and this is an area that companies are struggling with, and that we in IT can help them overcome some of the obstacles. I mentioned the Gartner Business Value Model before, and what these metrics are, it's another lengthy document, but it's like a dictionary. It's not meant to be read from cover to cover. It has the most frequently used business metrics that are leading indicators of financial outcomes. And they actually work in many of the public sector organizations as well. Not all of the metrics are appropriate in the public sector, but many of the supply chain and support services metrics are. This is an important topic because it is it establishes the relationship between what services do, and that is they affect business metrics, and then how ultimately these business metrics drive the desired outcomes of the corporation. And so another area that Gartner has published a lot of research in is corporate performance management and an ability to understand and manage the cause and effect relationships between business processes, which are the metrics you see on the left-hand side here, the business process related metrics, and financial results or desired outcomes, which is on the right. So just a little bit more about the business value model. Many of you may have already seen this, but I just want to point out this is sort of a picture of the metrics that are defined in that document. They fall into three broad categories. On the left, they're the metrics that are used to stimulate demand for the products and services offered by the organization. They're at the top. The middle part is the metrics that are used to satisfy that demand. And then at the bottom are the metrics that are measure the indirect activities, the support functions that support both demand management and supply management. And then you can see the breakdown. It sort of gets more detailed as you move from left to right. Three broad areas of demand management are marketing, sales, and product development. And next to each one of those color-coded, you see the metrics that provide a 360-degree view of the effectiveness of that area. This gets you into the process-based metrics. The prime metrics that you see here all came from business organizations like the Supply Chain Council, Product Development and Management Association, and others. So these are well-vetted, benchmarkable business metrics that are the targets for IT services. Just wanted to kind of share that with you. So the way this all comes together, as we go to the next slide, is we start at the upper left from an IT perspective in defining our internal IT processes. And I mentioned a reference document for that could be ITIL, or you could develop your own. Move from the implicit understanding of these processes to more of an explicit. Now, you don't have to get overly complicated or overly detailed right away. Start simply and grow in complexity only as you need to. But define your processes, have process owners, and drive continuous improvement. That's in the upper left. The upper right is a different discipline. It involves product management. It's defining the things that IT does in a way that is consumable and valued to your customer, the business user. Less is more here as well. You know, the research that we've done shows that somewhere between 10 to 15 service categories are all that's needed for most organizations to completely define the things that they do. And we have, again, I mentioned some of the research to support you on that. The services then relate to the business metrics that you see at the bottom left. And for that, we have the Gartner Business Value Model, which is a starting point. You can adapt it, extend it using the metrics that your business customers focus on. But it's a good place to start in a way of having a dialogue with the business people that you support. And then those ultimately affect the final end state value objectives of the organization. In for-profit companies, that's the income statement, and in public sector groups, it could be a combination of financial metrics and other non-financial metrics. So that's the mechanism. Those are the core concepts. And I mentioned at the very beginning that these are based on business ideas. What we're really talking about here, as you look at the upper left to the bottom right, are basically activity-based costing. The activities are those things that go on inside the IT organization in this case. The processes are those activities. And how those things are then consumed by the business, which is through the services that are offered that affect the business performance and ultimately the end state objectives of the company. So these are the same concepts that would be used in any other area of the company, whether that would be a procurement organization to understand how procurement, say an automotive company, affects business value, or human capital management function. It's the same basic concept. Activities relate to outcomes. And these are the stepping stones, you know, for us in IT to do that. So if we go to the last slide, and then I'd like to open it up for some questions. Hopefully we've generated some thoughts here, and I think the most valuable part of a presentation are the questions that happen at the end. And oftentimes, if you're thinking of something, someone else is thinking the same thing. So I encourage you not to be bashful. But the recommendations are to engage business leaders and educate them on the forces that result in the existing IT spending levels. Clearly, IT is responsible for the supply side, and we need to be vigilant about that, and that's why we have things like the IT spending and staffing report. You can challenge yourself, and you can, you know, the goal of reducing the cost of internal IT processes is never over. It's a journey, and you continue to work on it. But in addition to the supply side issues, there are the demand side issues, and it is a mistake for IT managers to assume that they have the best insight to determine how much or how little IT services should be consumed by the business. That is a mistake. But what we do need to do is to provide them with a mechanism for making that decision on their own. And once you've developed the service catalog and you understand the cost of delivering those services, you can provide that information to the business so that they can decide what the right service level agreements are based on the cost and what the right services are, whether they need those services and in what volume. That's the mechanism that we in IT need to provide the business so that they can make the right decisions on the demand side. Formalize the implicit understanding of what IT does with an explicit service catalog. We talked a little bit about this product management function. It's a skill that needs to be developed. It's an area that we haven't paid much attention to in IT management over the years, but it's something that's becoming more and more important, especially as we see new entrants into this world from software as a service, Salesforce.com. These groups have product managers, you can bet, and they're calling on your customer base. So you need to be at least as good as they are in defining what you do and making sure that there's an apples-to-apples comparison about what some of these new service providers who are calling directly on business people offer versus what you offer, including things like security, disaster recovery, and other things, which are often not included in the software-as-a-service offerings. And then manage internal IT processes to optimize cost of delivering IT services. You know, put in a continuous improvement process like Six Sigma or others to continually drive improvements in that area. And basically, all of this, these are using cost accounting concepts, activity-based costing, and it's running IT like a business. When you explain how you're doing this to the business, they will understand, because these are the same practices that are used in other areas of the company or the organization. So these are not specific to IT. These are business concepts. So with that, I'd like to end the sort of the formal portion of this, and hopefully we've got some questions based on some of the things we've covered today. Callie?
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Again, to ask a question, please press star 1. We will pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Again, ladies and gentlemen, for questions or comments, please press star 1.
Hopefully we have at least one brave person there. Usually it's the first one that's the toughest question, and after that, things start to come.
And we have no questions in queue at this time.
I guess I was either so complete in everything that I described that it's completely, without question, or I completely went over the top of everyone's head.
Again, if you would like to make a ask a question or make a comment, please press star 1. There are no questions or comments at this time.
Okay. Well, thank you all for attending, and hopefully this has been of some value to you. I made reference to some of the research that Gartner has on this topic, so I encourage you to take a look at that, and if there are any other thoughts to come up, you always have the ability to access the analyst through the client service center. So thanks, everybody.
Thank you for participating in today's Core Financial Concepts and Running IT Like a Business conference call. You may now disconnect.